1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
You know, the headline here, Americans still willing to fly, like, that's a big headline. I never understood the idea that we were afraid of flying after 9-11. I understand what happened on 9-11. Nobody needs to impress upon me how bad it was. But that's what it was. It was 9-11. What happened? Some guys took over some planes, and then they were successful with three of them, and the fourth one, they got their asses kicked. And that's the end of that. Why would we be afraid of flying? Somebody answer that question for me. What are you worried about? Look, if you think about it, flying was dangerous before 9-11. Flying was a little bit of a crapshoot before that thing went down. So what all of a sudden did we learn on 9-11 that we didn't already know before, other than the fact that some guys got on board a plane with box cutters on toothpaste handles, toothbrush handles, something. They had to, something having to do with the teeth. They were, anything you can put on in a toilet bag, they were able to hijack an airplane with an electric razor or something. The day a guy hijacks an airplane with a Norelco, now we got something to worry about. I told you about my wife. She got on a plane. She went all the way to Nashville and came back with a Swiss Army knife. And, of course, we're hearing these stories all the time now. This plane that was flying over the White House yesterday, took them 10 minutes to scramble the F-16 National Guard jets. If it had been a nutcase who wanted to blow up the White House at a private jet or a private plane, the guy would have been in there and out, and he would have been in there, he would have been blowed up, and he would have been sitting next to Allah and those seven virgins before he could say soupy sails, man. He would have been done. He would have been cooked. And then he would have had the jets up in the air. I mean, it's an impossible thing. Look, can I say this without striking too much panic? We happen to be in a war, which I've said, and I know a lot of people think I'm just, you know, it's just my, there's Phil getting nervous again. I'm not nervous. I know what's going on, that's all. I can see what's happening. And at some point, we're going to have to choose between higher security and our own comfort level. Now, what do I mean by that? I guess what I'm saying is if it costs more money, for instance, to put what they call a combat air patrol up in the air. And what a combat air patrol is, it's constantly flying jets, constantly, so that one crew lands, another one's already up in the air. And you always never have a jet in the air. Man, that was pretty good, and I just got up. You always never have a jet in the air. And you always have the White House protected. So we're going to have to begin to consider the money that it's going to cost for these things. And if it costs money, that means that there are a few little things, a few little perks, a few little trips to moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that we can't have. There's just going to be a little bit of give and take going on with this thing as it gets heavier, as we realize we need to put maybe guys down at the port in Wilmington because there's some Al-Qaeda, some tile wrapper coming in a cargo container. Some guy coming in with the latest shipment of Datsuns from Japan. Some guy crawling over the hood of a Nissan and trying to get into the country that way. I don't know how they're getting there. They want to get in, that's for sure. They're coming in through the keyhole. They're coming in out of the door, and we can stop them. There's a lot of things we can do about it. But sooner or later, we're going to have to kind of notice that we're doing it. You're going to feel it a little bit. And so whether it's more security at the airport, it's going to start feeling a little less like it used to around here. Does that mean that we are now living in the Nazi Reich? No, it doesn't. I've been noticing lately Steven Spielberg. Now, either he's opening his mouth a lot or somebody says he is. But lately, in advance of this movie Minority Report, he's been talking a lot about how it's getting to be Big Brother around here and we better watch out. Well, I don't know, Stephen. Let's see. We've had car bombings. We've had innocent civilians killed. We lost 3,000 people at the World Trade Center. We had an anthrax scare. And before that, terrorism wasn't anything new in America. We had the bombing of a church in Birmingham, the harassment of African Americans. I don't know, Steve. Just how much a Big Brother do you want? If you don't mind me calling you Steve. You notice how nobody calls him Steve Spielberg? I think we got to start knocking some of these guys down. I understand he owns his own island and he has his own shipping line and he can go out for an all-day fishing expedition with Tom Hanks on a freaking destroyer. But to me, you'll always be Steve. So things are going to change just a little bit, and you're going to have to understand that it's the way the game is going to be played from here on out. It's going to become more inconvenient. It doesn't mean that we're all at risk and that we're going to lose old glory and the whole shooting match is going down the toilet. It means that we're always going to have our country, but we've always got to be on guard from here on out. I mean, for as long as I'm going to be alive, that's for ding dang sure. It's just going to be like that. Just consider that if the guy said Al-Qaeda is jacking ambulances in New York to pretend like they're on an emergency run so they can drive it into the lobby of a building and blow it up, just consider that possibility a real possibility and go about your day with that knowledge, and who knows, you may be a hero too someday. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but I will tell you this. I ain't afraid of flying, and I wasn't afraid of flying on September the 12th. And now we find out Americans are still willing to fly. In fact, there's going to be more people in the air than there were on May 2001. Now, they cut back on the flights right after 9/11, and they cut back on and with the cutting back of flights, there were fewer people flying. And the only people that I ever heard really getting paranoid about flying were the nervous types, you know, a couple of weeks after 9/11, and little kids, like I told you about my daughter, who said to us when we were going to Fiji, "Is the plane going to get hijacked?" Yes, Catherine, it'll get hijacked. I don't know if it'll get... No, it won't get hijacked. No. You know what you got to do with a kid is be a little bit honest and say, "Is the plane going to be hijacked?" Yeah, maybe it's, Why did you make her cry? I told her the truth. I don't know what the... Why is she crying? "He's going to get hijacked." Well, now why would you tell her that, you idiot? Well, it's possible. I don't want to lie to her. Psychologists say be honest. I also told her there's no Santa Claus and Disneyland sucks. So, what do you want from me? So I'd love to fly more, and if it were up to me, I would say to all the airlines, put all them planes back in the air that you pulled out of the air on September 1, 2, baby. Let's get this shooting match off the ground, and let's get rocking and rolling here. Let's keep working this thing like we're on our heels, man. We're in a little boxing match here, and we're like up against the ropes on this thing. Let's get a little proactive. Let's put the planes back up in the air. Let's kick a little ass where we have to. Let's be a little more vigilant. I don't mind the longer lines for security. I've never bitched about that. The people that bellyached about those long lines for security on international flights, I'll tell you what, why don't you do this? Take a boat. Try roller skating there. I don't know, man, but you're really bumming my trip. You know, you're harshing my buzz in a large, large way. I'm on my way on vacation. I got Charlie in front of me saying, "I don't want to take my shoes off. Do I look like Al-Qaeda?" Yeah, you do. "I come from Albany, New York, and I'm Jewish." You still look like a towel wrapper to me. Take them off. And that whole thing about them profiling people with those special security checks there at the gate when they put you behind the curtain, guess what? I got profiled and security checked, and I'm about as Mick-looking as they come. I got the big pink face, a howitzer shell head. I'm as Irish as they get, man. I'm like that guy, what's his face? Who was the guy in that movie, the general? Cahill, that hood? I look like a big, fat Irish bartender. Yeah, they're profiling them dark skins, all right. How did they get me? I don't know. There I am, standing in the middle of about 15 guys who look like Sikhs, one Chinese guy, and my wife and me. What's with you guys? I can understand the towel wrapper here. How come me? You're ugly. We're just, you know, and nobody can be that ugly, man, and not have it in for the world, okay? So we're double-checking you, too. You don't like it? Take a boat. Oh, you heard my show? Yes. All right, so nobody's afraid of flying. That's good news. We got fires out west. It really sucks. I feel bad for those people. I also feel bad for the firefighters. If you've ever seen a truckload of firefighters coming down from the mountains, as we've seen here in the west, you see the guys coming in the trucks as they kind of ship them in and out. They are covered in soot. They are covered in sweat. They look like they haven't slept for days because they haven't. They look worn out. I mean, these guys are literally keeping the conflagration from our front door. So for whatever it's worth, from this show to you guys on the fire lines, wherever you are, we appreciate you no end. And there's a little something in your envelope if you keep it away from my house this year, although I understand there's only so many of you guys to go around. But they're doing a hell of a job. And fire is a scary thing. I don't want to see my house get it. I lived in an apartment once where I took off to do an air shift at K-West, the old K-West back down on Cahuenga and Sunset, back in 1980. And I had forgotten that I was boiling two eggs for an egg sandwich. Okay, so sue me. I like egg salad sandwiches. And I'd forgotten about 5 hours into my air shift, I remembered I kept the stove cooking and I had the pan frying and I had them eggs going. And I did about 168 miles an hour on the freeway back home. Got into my apartment full of smoke. The two eggs were now little black cinders in the bottom of the pan. But other than that, everything was good. And I figured I got out of that lucky. But to this day, and this must be some kind of an obsessive compulsive problem that I have, and I recognize that. To this day, I can't see a fire engine screaming toward anywhere close to where I live without thinking, My house is on fire. And I still have the fear, if Maria and the kids are gone and it's just me and I got to take care of the house, I still have the fear that I'm going to come home and, like, just see half the house just, you know, burnt to the ground. The cat dead. Fire engine. And a guy goes, who's the idiot that lives? It's me, sir. You, why are you fool? Don't you know what you've done? I mean, this goes through my paranoid head. So I don't take any chances. I mean, I'm the kind of guy that I double check to see. I don't know how many times I will double check to make sure that I, like, haven't left a stove on like 5-6 times. I'm even going out back now to make sure those swallows are gone, even though I killed them. I mean, I didn't kill them. I chased them away. I still go out there, and till the day I die, I'll still walk out there and look to see, have the swallows returned? You've tuned into the very paranoid, but I think ultimately healthy, because I'm self-effacing and yet very honest with myself, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
From yesterday's show, Paul Tubby Lane, speaking of fires, was on our program. Paul is a former conservationist, and he was saying that it's possible if this Terry Barton lady started the Hayman fire in Colorado, maybe it was just because she was so frustrated and angry at being humiliated by wildlife while working as a forestry technician. In fact, he postulated that it was possible the caribou, wild caribou, tried to hump her. Here's Paul Lane from the Phil Hendry Show from yesterday.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, and we do quite a bit of hunting and fishing here. And my friend, I have to tell you that you are completely wrong.
Well, sir, I'd like to know what your experience is in the
hunted
game.
I have hunted and fished all my life, and...
I'm wrong about what? Be specific.
Well, about a caribou trying to mount a woman...
That was anecdotal. I don't know if that's true or not, but what I'm trying to say is you can imagine how humiliating that would be.
My friend, a caribou, once they see a human being, will run away instinctively.
In mating season?
Sir, in mating season, especially, because that is when the hunting season starts.
Well, why did we get, and this was on a couple of websites, that she was humiliated by some kind of an animal?
How can you let an animal humiliate you, sir?
I'm saying, sir, not that the animal would on purpose, but if an animal tried to mount you for mating purposes,
I think... that is laughable.
I think you would be embarrassed, wouldn't you?
Sir, that is laughable.
Well,
now, I have seen...
Can I jump in?
Sir, these animals in National Forest know...
Sir, excuse me.
First of all, you can't shoot an animal in a national forest, Ray, so I'm hoping...
No, I'm afraid you're wrong, sir. Because we shoot animals here in Arkansas in a national forest every year. It is allowed by law.
Well, during the season, yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now,
allowed by law.
Now, that's early fall.
Now,
could
you tell me why a caribou would try to mount a woman or even look at a woman in that way when it's not hunting season? Could you tell me that, sir?
Well, I'll tell you this. It was anecdotal information.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's true or not.
You're trying to say that caribou scared her down.
If a caribou mad dogs you, that's not going to make you angry?
Mad dogging me, meaning?
Meaning staring you down.
Staring me down. Well, you know, I guess I will run, but I don't think I'll start a forest
Well, here's the thing. When you say mad dogging, you mean the animal is staring the human down to intimidate?
Yes, sir. Yes,
is
sir.
Is that what you mean?
That's what I mean.
Well,
I
yes, sir. I mean, you must have some sort of instinctual, you know.
I don't know what you're
survival.
Getting at.
You know, you need to.
What are you getting at?
I'm getting at what you're saying is totally preposterous. You're telling me that.
Terry Barton had her hair held down by the hoof of a caribou.
Is that a fact?
If that's true, and I'm not saying that if that's true.
Is that what she says?
That's what's the anecdotal information I'm getting. She was retaliating, and
now,
I'm not saying it's right.
By starting a fire.
Yes,
now,
sir. Yes, sir.
No, that is totally preposterous. I cannot see a caribou even getting anywhere near a human being. And this is where, in Colorado?
Yes,
there are
sir.
No caribou in Colorado.
Well, some kind of an animal.
No,
wait a minute. Wait a second. Yes, there are caribou. There are caribou herds on federal reserves. Yes, there are, sir.
Well, maybe
so. Yes, there
so,
are, sir. All right, sir.
Maybe
this is
so,
a,
but
this
is that
federal
a national
reserve
forest?
We're talking, this is a federal reserve we're talking
okay,
about, sir.
Okay, we're not talking
yeah, well,
about
she's
it.
Charged with setting a fire.
Are we
in
talking
a,
about national forests or federal
well, she's,
reserve?
She's charged with starting a fire in a federal reserve.
That is correct.
Okay.
All right,
so we're...
I'm going to tell you, Ray, and I believe you when you say you're a hunter. If an animal comes up to you trying to mount you,
my
I
friend,
think you, that'll make you angry.
I was sitting on the side of a dirt road one day while deer hunting.
Right.
A bobcat was running down the road. I looked at him. He looked at me. He was 10 feet away from me. I drew my gun up, and I looked at him and said, "Sir, you better turn around and run back up the road." You know what happened? He didn't attack.
He mad dogged you.
He turned around and ran back up the road, and that is a true story, my
well,
friend.
Now you're telling me you're talking English to an animal. That's
hey, that's exactly what he did because he knew that this was not a forest animal. It's something he's never encountered, and he needed to go away.
In other words, animals they know when a natural enemy is afoot, right?
An animal knows when an animal also that's frightened. And that is perhaps out of
I will
normal
not
area,
argue the point
will try to mount
you,
a female human. And if I saw my wife getting mounted by a caribou,
now where do
I'd
you get
set
this
fire
mounting?
To.
Why do you keep going back to the mounting thing?
That's what you say happened. Now, you've seen your old lady get mounted by something.
You know, I really find that hard to believe.
Ask a lady who was mauled by the pit bulls. People
that
are
is
eaten
so
by cougars.
Laughable.
Ask any family who's lost a mother or a child to a cougar.
Do you know right. That is so laughable?
Well. Thank you very much.
A caribou mounting a woman?
Well, if it happened, it gives us a reason for why she started a fire.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, the best part of that call is when the guy looked at that bobcat and said, "Sir, you better just turn right around and go back." Because that is the epitome of class, taste, and the gentleman hunter. You even address the bobcat, "Sir, I'm going to blow your head off." That is that's class, but that's the beauty of, there is a, well, I'm not going to start in on hunting, but God, I wish I had a gun right now. I want to go out, when I hear a call like that, I want to go out into the wild, I want to do that whole deer hunter thing, you know, that phony baloney cornball De Niro movie with the one shot, this is to take one shot. Yeah, get out of here. Go play Russian roulette, will you? But I want to go into the wilds and I want to find me a herd of caribou and have a submachine gun and a helicopter. And just, to me, that's sport. Get yourself a gunship and a herd of caribou. Just. That's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. By the way, apropos of nothing, but I was at the Stadium Club at Dodger Stadium many years ago, and the former owner of the LA Dodgers was a fine man by the name of Walter O'Malley. And Mr. O'Malley had in the Stadium Club a stuffed and mounted polar bear that was up on its hind legs and its paws out as if to attack. And he had this thing stuffed and mounted right there in the Stadium Club. And I asked somebody, well, how did he get the bear in that position? He said, well, the bear was eating berries off of a tree, and Mr. O'Malley came up in a gunship and just machine-gunned the back of his head, and that's to the position he was in. Just so it looked like he was going to eat somebody. He was just nibbling berries off. I'm kidding. You're right. I walked into a guy's cabin one time. He had one of them deer heads on his wall. I said, what happened? He said, the deer got so angry, he ran at me, and his head went right through the wall, and I just left him there. Oh, okay. By the way, you know what the real story behind that? The guy got a deer head mounted on his wall. You know how he got the deer? He ran into it on a road. He hit it and killed it, so he just threw it in the trunk and had it stuffed, and like he's the big game hunter, like he's freaking Frank freaking Buck. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are, in this segment, going to tackle the very, very controversial correction system in the United States of America. We have been granted the unusual opportunity to interview a prisoner who's in what is called the Maximum Security Capital Crime Block of the New Mexico State Prison at Diablo Mountain. It is, of course, otherwise known as Death Row, and we are going to do our very best to be as objective as we can. Mr. Austin Amarca is on the line with us. Mr. Amarca, are you there? Mr. Amarca, you were convicted in 1987 for the murder of 12 Girl Scouts and their fathers at an Indian Princess campground just outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Is that correct?
Well, sir, I'm innocent of that crime, as I've stated in five different appeals to the appellate court.
You were sentenced to death by lethal injection. Is that correct?
That is correct, but I was in Phoenix, Arizona the night of those murders at a restaurant.
Yeah, but but police say that your DNA was all over the site.
Well, it was planted there by the police,
Okay, let me ask you before I get into it, why would the police plant your DNA?
Well, the lead investigator, Captain Gutierrez, I had sold his sister-in-law. I admitted I'd rolled back the odometer, but I'd sold her a car that I'd rolled back the odometer on, so they wanted me... They want to get back.
All right, okay, so they made you for a murder that you didn't do because you ripped off this guy's sister. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, in any event, police say there were four murder weapons used by you, a mason's trowel, three lengths of rope, a shotgun, and a length of iron pipe. You killed 12 people with these implements, and it took forensics and the coroner a week to identify the victims. And by all accounts, you're a vicious, and you're apparently an unrepentant mass murderer who's better dead. So how do you dispute all of that?
Well, my case is very involved. Now, the DA did not allow testimony from Shorty Shea, who's a very dear friend of mine, and I was at his mobile home that night. And Brandywine, who's a young dancer...
All right, hold on for just a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, I've got a news bulletin here. Are you with me, Mr. Amarca?
Yes, sir, I am. But I'm telling you, I am innocent. And being on death row... Okay, so there's 12, 24. How many was there killed?
12 girls and their fathers. That's 24.
I'm sorry, but...
Hold on, I got a news flash here. We've just got this in from the Supreme Court in Washington. Okay, here it is. This may be of some interest to you, Mr. Amarca. They have ruled that executing mentally retarded murderers violates the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment. So I suppose if you were going to get out of your murder rap, that'd be one way. But they obviously you're not retarded, and they've got you dead to rights. Now, getting back to what we were talking about, you were, let's see, there were 12. Are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Okay, this is Mr. Amarca? Is this the Mr. Amarca that I was just speaking with?
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right, you murdered 12 Girl Scouts and their fathers using pipe, rope, and a mason's trowel. How'd you do it?
I don't know.
Sir, are you trying to tell me that you're mentally retarded?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. We just got this news bulletin in. They are now going to execute mentally retarded people, so I guess they're off the hook there.
Yeah, that's too bad. But anyway, I was telling you...
Aha!
What?
What do you mean, what?
What did I do?
1 minute you're retarded, the next minute you're not?
Are you goofy or something? I've been sitting here talking to you.
Just 5 seconds ago, you were acting like you were retarded.
No, sir, I was not.
That wasn't you.
No, sir, it was not. Jesus, You all right?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm not. I've done interviews with Mike Wallace, Ed Bradley. Even though he's black, I didn't mind him interviewing me and all kinds of people. And you're the first one that's ever yelled at me or treated me less than the dignity would require of an incarcerated prisoner in the federal system.
I apologize. I didn't mean to yell. It just... Anyway, your case had five different appeals.
Yes, sir, it did, and for good reason, too.
And how do you explain your DNA being there?
Well, the problem is that the arresting officer was related to another cop I had a run-in with up in Oakland, California in a crap game.
Now, all right, hold on for just a minute, sir. The Supreme Court has now, okay, they've had a reversal of that ruling. They are now ruling that they cannot execute mentally retarded murderers. All right, that just in. Go ahead.
I appealed, then they would not let me have it. I said, well, isn't this appeal? And I held up a nanner.
Is this Mr. Amarca?
I don't know.
What do you mean when you appealed you held up a nanner?
I had like a nanner sandwich.
Oh, you mean the appeal being a banana... Is this Mr. Market?
I don't know.
This just in, the Supreme Court says they're not going to execute mentally retarded people. Mr. Market, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Anyways, I was saying, Mr. Henry...
What do you mean, what? Just a minute ago, I asked you about a peel, and you said you wanted a nanner sandwich.
I don't know what you're talking about. All I'm telling you is that...
Every time I say that they will not execute mentally retarded people, you act like you're a retard, and then when you say that you...
How dare you use the word retard? I have a younger sister who's been afflicted with Down syndrome since she come down with it on her 21st birthday. She caught it over here at a campground. And now you're saying the things you're saying. I'm very, very...
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Oh, look at that. The Supreme Court says that they will not execute mentally retarded people. You were saying?
My sister is a, like, nanner. She like a nanner.
Wait a minute. Now they are going to execute them.
And she's a very lovely girl.
Now they're not going to execute them.
I like you.
Okay, that's what I thought.
What?
They're going to execute mentally retarded guys.
Tough luck for them, isn't it?
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, they aren't.
Okay.
Forget it.
Bye.
See
ya.
Next time, will you get me a real guy that's on death row, please? Nanner sandwich. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bye-bye.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
See, the story executing the retarded unconstitutional, and I understand, because the definition is cruel and unusual punishment. It's in our Constitution. The Constitution, by the way, is something you can't change unless you amend it. And the only way you can amend the Constitution is to get the amendment ratified by, I think it's 3/4 of the state's legislatures involved. So the laws can be changed, but you have to go about changing them in the way prescribed by the Constitution. Can you dig it? In other words, if you wanted to secede from the Union, make murder legal, assassinate presidents, anything you wanted to do, you could make it legal, but you first have to ratify the Constitution, amend it, so that you can roll back rights such as, you know, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, and kind of, you know, arcane things like that. Now, when it comes to executing the retarded, they say it's cruel and unusual to put to death a man who is sick or who is retarded mentally or emotionally. It is cruel and unusual. It violates the Constitution. And I would have to agree with that, although I know when I agree with it, I notice scumbags that are behind the bars and the walls of the prisons, both state and federal in this country, many of them sociopaths and psychopaths who could work a rule like this. They will work this thing like a freaking German cello, baby. You get some guy in there going, crapping on himself, peeing on himself. The guy's got, you know, he's got a brain like Albert Einstein, and he's just worked everybody beautiful. He gets out, he walks on a retarded thing, and he's, you know, he's in Marina Del Rey kicking it. You're going to have guys up and down death row peeing themselves, crapping themselves, and going, what is it with you? Yesterday you were playing chess with me.
What?
Oh, come on. You ain't going to work that, are you? Oh, boy. All right, now, there's a movie coming out called Minority Report in which Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise paint a picture of the future where Big Brother has taken over. The movie is coming out sometime. It is based on a book by Philip K. Dick, actually a short story. And this is the same guy, Philip Dick, who wrote Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. That was the story upon which Blade Runner was based, and it's a tremendous book, and Blade Runner was a great film. Minority Report apparently is a really cool flick, too, because it shows the future, and it's really terrible, and it's black and white, and Steven Spielberg is all worried about what's going to happen. Our rights are going to erode, and the country's going to be a piece of crap. One of the great things about humans, we are lousy at predicting our own future, as I've been very apt to point out to you guys many times on this show. Many times I have said and proven that humans, if there's one thing we're bad at, and there's a lot that we're good at, but there's one thing we're really bad at, and that's predicting our own future. We didn't do it in things to come, and we didn't do it in Time Machine, and we didn't do it in Brave New World, and God knows we didn't do it in 1984, and we weren't able to do it in any number of prognosticative type films. And, Clockwork Orange, you know, by this time, I remember when I was a kid, they said by the year 2000, the world would be blanketed with a carbon monoxide cloud and acid rain, and there would be no sunshine. That's what I was told when I was 18. Now it's the year 2002, and I'm looking at a beautiful sunny sky out here today. In fact, we got more ding-dang wildfires. There's more sun than we need. And we were told that come the year 2002... the overpopulation problem would be so bad, we'd be eating each other. See Soylent Green for that one. And, of course, let's not forget 2001, A Space Odyssey. We were going to be on the moon with big moon domes taking joyrides on Pan Am. A, I ain't been to the moon lately, have you? B, Pan Am's out of business. Now we have Minority Report from Steven Spielberg, who's a hell of a filmmaker. But just like any filmmaker, when he starts opening his mouth about social things, he don't know diddly squat about Philip Dick. He don't know Philip K. Dick. Leave all the big mouth gas bag into the talk show host there, Steve. What this guy's saying now is Big Brother is coming. Well, maybe Big Brother is coming, okay, but he's got good reason. It's a little thing called 9/11. Now, the other thing that makes me feel good about this movie is because it's predicting the future, it's going to be wrong. Just like every other movie that ever tried to predict the future, it'll be wrong. Now, we also remember AI from last summer, what a marvelous piece of prognostication that was, where, let me see, what was it? We were brutalizing robots in the WWF. I don't know what the hell that was about, but anyway, Blade Runner also tells us that we had robots, androids, that looked just like us, had emotions, and could kick ass in the span of about 3 years. By the year 2019, forget about it. It ain't going to happen. When's the closest you figure we got a robot? When's the closest you figure a robot will go get me a beer? A robot? I'm serious now. Is there anybody out there that knows this stuff? I want to know, will it happen? I'm 49. And what I'd like to, if they got it, I'll buy a robot named Ed, who wears like maybe one of those baggy zoot suits with a hat, and he'll go fetch Scotch. Hey, Ed.
Yeah, sir.
Scotch.
Right away, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Ed.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you chalk up those cues, man, and set up the balls. We got a game tonight.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Hey. Now you're doing a thing, huh? I don't want you kicking ass, and I don't want you touching my wife.
Never, sir.
Atta, baby. Otherwise, I unplug your ass.
Yes, sir.
And now, Ed, why don't you go take a jump in the pool?
Yes, sir.
Just kidding. Just kidding, Ed. No, there ain't going to be no robots by 2019, and by the year 2054, there won't be any Big Brother, no matter how bad Spielberg wants it to happen. Yes, I said you want it to happen, Spielberg, because you, along with all the other Jews, will take over the world because of the media-controlled Jews! Now, how many of you guys think I'm serious? Raise your hands. Jeez, that's a lot of you. Now, I love your movies, Steve. Just love them. But that whole shark thing, man, that was baloney, too. Now we're finding out that sharks don't even like the taste of people. Where'd you come up with that Jaws bit, anyway? thing had a license plate in it from Louisiana, came up the Gulf Stream. Get out of here. Ate the girl on the beach, the hand and the thing. You know, sharks think we taste like poo. They spit us out, now we find out. But with Spielberg, we got no... Now I got a son, my second oldest son. We were thinking of going to Hawaii until I found out I can't afford it. But anyway, we were thinking about it. And I said, we're going to go to Hawaii. He goes, nah, I don't think so. Why not? Well, there's sharks there. No, there's not. There's a barrier reef. There's no sharks. Yeah, I'm hearing there are. And every time there's a show about sharks on, he stands there just transfixed because he believes he's going to be an aperitif for one. Why? Jaws. So I think Spielberg's got it all wrong. What else did he get wrong? Even Saving Private Ryan was a full of, you know, that wasn't exactly right. And that AI was a pile, and that Amistad sucked, and so did Captain Hook. Oh, you mean, was that Spielberg? Yeah, okay. Hook sucked. That never happened. There was no guy named Hook, and there ain't no Peter Pan either. But I want to know when the next robot comes out, and the flying car, too. I'm getting tired of these movies telling us all about the future, and I ain't seen no flying cars around here lately. And what about that conveyor belt that takes me from my front door down to my kitchen table where I can sit on my ass and eat without moving? Everything that George Jetson's got, I want. Including the wife, Jane, to go along with the blonde I have. But the whole thing about androids, you know, we've been pining away for that since Grandma Moses was a little tiny sprig. We've been wanting robots, you know, longer than we've been wanting anything else. We ain't got them. Every day I see a thing on the news, and a robot will be demonstrated at the Barclay plant. Excuse me, thank you to the network for bringing me back on, though I have the drinking problem. Let's go to Bill Wiley with this report. A robot was demonstrated today. Well, actually, it's just kind of a plug-in job, and you have to remote control. It's not really a robot. It's... Sorry. Oh, you idiot. Guy sends you out on a job, you can't get it straight. All right, let's go now to Steve Ducey, the weather guy.
Hi, everybody. Hey, listen, there was another car bombing, and a man lost his arms in a bus. Hey, look at this, more wildfires. Looks like it's going to be a good day in Arizona, if you're a fireman, that is. Time for the pool. I'm Steve Ducey, the weather guy.
All right, let's get back to the story about a robot. All right, you're out of here, Bill. You're fired. When I get that going, you let me know, all right? Don't forget our website is philhenryshow.com. Now, the Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is coming. A black and silver beautiful T-shirt with a Citizens Auxiliary Police badge over the left breast and the slogan on the back in silver that reads, "We take a peek over the shoulder of the police." It is coming in a heavy 100% cotton. It's small to extra, extra large, and it's only $16, baby. And, of course, 2 to 4 weeks we ship it in, so you got to get your Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt or your Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt or any of the Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs. Be fully equipped. Be fully garbed. And also log on to our website for that backstage pass. This summer, it's the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The fires in Colorado, the fires in Arizona, the fires in California, it's a hell of a fire season. Many people affected. We are fortunate and we are grateful to one man to come on the air with us today who has suffered loss from fire and to tell us a little bit about this, something we hope nothing, it never happens to any of us. And for this to have happened to you, sir, and for you to be able to talk about it, we appreciate it.
I'm very grateful to be with you today.
Sir, you had damage to what part of your home?
I lost three-quarters of our carport. I lost a cedar fence that runs along our yard. And my neighbors lost an awning and canopy over his patio and part of the rooftop of his home. I suppose in many ways we're lucky, but the damage to my house, the fear that my family's been put under, these arsonists that caused these things, I'm absolutely angry. It's cost many families dearly, and it's cost my family dearly as well.
Where were you when the fire started?
Well, I was out back. I was in my backyard. when the fire erupted, I was talking to a next door neighbor of mine by the name of Roy Hutchins, and I blame him as well. He's my neighbor. He lives to the east of me, and he and I share a cedarwood fence.
How do you blame him? You're blaming your neighbor for the fire?
Well, let me tell you what happened. I had a particularly difficult week of work, and I went to see a therapist. I don't live in Colorado or Arizona, sir. I live in California.
Yeah, you live in Corona, California?
Yes, sir.
So your home was affected by some of the wildfires in California?
My home was burned almost to the ground because of these people that set these Colorado fires, and I feel so much for these families.
What happened to your house?
My house was, I was out back. I'd had a tough week. I'd been to a therapist. I go to psychotherapy, who had told me to relax a little bit. We talk about finding the child within and that kind of thing. I said, well, that's good. So I was over near my tool shed, and I noticed a red anthill had sprung up near my tool shed. And I remembered how much fun that I had had when I was a boy. Lighting anthills on fire when I was a boy. And I remember what the therapist had told me about finding the child within. And I also remembered that this lady, Terry Barton, in Colorado, had set fire to a letter to heal her pain. And I put two and two together, and next thing I knew, I had lighter fluid, and I thought, well, I'll relax and find my inner child and burn me an anthill. So I squirted some of the lighter fluid on the anthill and set it on fire. And then I dragged a patio chair over, and I was going to relax and watch it, and I was enjoying myself.
Now, who is Mr. Hutchins?
Well, that's my neighbor, Roy Hutchins. He's my neighbor to the east of me, and he come over and starts telling me that whatever I'm doing is endangering the cedar fence. And also, when I wrote it down, he called me stupid. He called me childish. And I was trying to tell him about the child within, and now the shed and a section of the cedar fence is on fire. So, as a direct result of his interruption, and then my wife saw the smoke, she called 911. By the time an engine comes...
Let me interrupt you right here. So your shed, your fence, part of your house caught on fire while you were arguing with this man, Mr. Hutchins?
That is correct. He directly interrupted me when I was...
But weren't you the one you were setting fire to an anthill?
Yeah. That because I was told, Mr. I know it sounds childish, but I was told by my therapist to do something that reminded me of my childhood. And I thought it would be relaxing for me to set an anthill on fire on account I did it as a kid.
Well, sir, you set an anthill on fire.
With lighter fluid, like I done when I was a kid. Didn't you? You trying to tell me you didn't do it?
Well, I'm not. Did I set anthills on fire?
Yes, sir.
Yes, of course I set anthills on fire, but I... My understanding here is that you were affected by the Colorado and Arizona wildfires.
Yes, sir, I have. My family and I identify and feel for the people of Colorado and Arizona because we've been put through the very same thing.
How do you feel you've been put through the same thing?
Because of a spontaneous fire that started...
Well, but it was started by you.
No, sir. The fire got out of control when Mr. Hutchins came over and started yelling at me. Now, by the time the engine company arrived, we had lost our fence, three-quarters of our carport, the whole canopy off the back of Mr. Hutchins' patio and spa, as well as the roof over his children's bedroom. Now, I understand this Terry Barton was healing her pain by setting fire to a letter. I was also healing my pain by burning an anthill to find the child within.
All right, I'm going to give our number out, and to find the child within, you set fire to an anthill, which eventually burned down three-quarters of your carport.
All right, and I also lost $3,000 of garden equipment in my shed, but this is what the people in Colorado are going through, and that's all I'm trying to say.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bozell,
I feel for the people in Colorado and Arizona because my family has been through the same thing.
Well, that's the part that I want to address with you. The fire that started at your house was started by you.
No, sir, it was not.
You started burning an anthill.
Because my therapist had recommended...
All right, your therapist had recommended that you relax and find the child within, and so you burned an anthill like you did when you were a kid.
That's correct.
Now Mr. Hutchins comes over and tells you quit being an idiot.
That's right.
And while you're arguing with him, your tool shed goes up, a cedar fence, and a carport, and part of his house.
That is correct, sir. And I can tell you, when I saw the fire engine pull up, I just felt like I saw my whole life and the life of my children, the life of my wife. I could have died. My wife could have died. My attorney has recommended a three-prong approach on this because I am planning a lawsuit, and that is the best way that I can do it. But this Colorado fire and the Arizona fire has cost my family dearly, as it cost so many other families.
You keep saying the Colorado fire and the Arizona fire. Your family wasn't in the Colorado fire, the Arizona fire.
No, but we were, because of the fact that I was inspired to light this fire by that lady who burned a letter. Okay?
The lady who burned the letter.
So I'm a victim of her, too. All the people whose houses got burned down in Colorado and Arizona are victims of that lady who set her fire, her letter on fire. I'm victimized by her, too, because she inspired me to light the anthill on fire.
All right, what are you suing over?
I'm going to sue my therapist, Dr. Aaron Haas, for conspiracy to commit arson. Terry Barton, who is the lady who is alleged to have set the fire in Colorado, for contributing to my delinquency. Also, Roy Hutchins for criminal interference on account I wouldn't have set a fire to a cedar fence, my carport, or his canopy and patio had he not come butting in. I could have died, and my wife could have died.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell, who considers himself to be a victim of the Colorado fire and the Arizona fire.
I don't consider it. I am.
You're a victim of the Colorado fire and the Arizona fire, even though you live in California, and
because
you were influenced by this Terry Barton lady who set a letter on fire.
That's right.
All right, Mr. Bozell lost a good part of his property after he set an anthill on fire in trying to recapture his youth. His friend came over and told him to put it out, and he, in arguing with his friend, the tool shed went up, the fence went up, his carport went up, and part of his friend's house went up. He feels that it's his friend's fault and this forestry person in Colorado for him setting the... You know what?
Well, Mr. Henry, you're trying to make it sound like it's my fault. When the government starts to hand out funding to repair the Colorado families and to repair the Arizona families, we certainly do feel that we should get some of that money.
No, wait. Are you saying that you're entitled to FEMA money?
Yes, you better believe it. You better believe it.
But, sir, your home wasn't touched by the Colorado...
It doesn't make any difference. I wouldn't have set the fire on the anthill if it hadn't been for that lady who set fire to that letter in Colorado, what inspired me to do it. Now, don't you go telling me I don't get no FEMA money. I got half of my house to replace.
FEMA's going to fly out to California and give you money to repair your house because it got burned because you lit an anthill on fire?
I lit an anthill on fire on account of the lady who lit the letter. So I'm a victim of the Colorado fire every bit as much as nobody else.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show, as this man feels he's entitled now to FEMA money to repair his home, even though he says he lit the fire. He was inspired to do it by the lady who lit her letter on fire in Colorado, and so therefore he's entitled to Federal Emergency Management Agency money. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Okay, Stephen, I found out during the break that you're in a bar right now.
Yes, sir, I am.
Why are you in a bar?
Because of the fact, basically, that I've been put through a great deal of pain over the fire to my home. I'm an alcoholic, and I do not drink. But I come down to a bar because I'm afraid I'll take a drink.
Can I say one thing before anything else?
Yes, sir.
Don't drink. If you're an alcoholic and...
Mr. Henry, I've been put through with the burning of our home and people saying that we are not entitled to FEMA money. We've been put through more hell than I think we've ever been put through before.
All right, look, you're in California. Your home...
I know I live in California.
But the home... The Colorado fires are in Colorado. Arizona's in Arizona. Now, you set fire to an anthill because you were trying to find the child within. I understand that. Your friend distracted you. It burned down half of your house. And as a result, you feel you're a victim of the Colorado fire because, just like that Terry Barton lady, you were trying to manage your stress.
She burned a letter, I burned an anthill, and now I don't get to have no FEMA money?
FEMA money is supposed to go to people who've suffered from these fires. Do you understand?
Well, I think I should be reimbursed. We had a reservation at Yosemite Campgrounds because on account of the fire at my home, and we had to postpone our holiday.
So you also want...
We want our reservation money back, too. Yes, sir.
1-800-449... And you're sitting in a bar room right now?
I can't. I'm afraid I'm going to take a drink because of the stress that I've been under. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Meredith, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm on the Phil Henry Show?
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
I have a lot to say to him. I mean, if he's going to a therapist,
right now, I'm in
know
a,
what he's in for.
Right now, I'm in a bar room, which I should never have been in.
He's in a bar room for nothing he should have been in?
Ma'am,
my
I'm
God,
an...
God, if he's going to a therapist, he knows what he's getting into.
I go to a therapist to try to find the child within because I've lived so under so much stress. I'm also
the child within for the child under so much stress?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you're talking to a therapist. I mean, you take what you can get. You take what you're paying for. You're
what
paying
are you talking
for a
about?
Therapist? I mean, did he tell you to light the lamp, the anthill?
He told me to find a pursuit that was reminiscent of when I was a little boy.
And a neighbor came over and was having a pursuit with you over you lighting the fire, and you lost contact with the fire? I mean, you should be responsible for lighting
but,
a fire. If you think
understand.
It's so cool, lighting a fire, and then you lose concentration, I mean, you should
it's
be focused
most,
on that.
One of the most relaxing things that a boy can do is to light an anthill on fire, and I was trying to just relax. Now Hutchins comes
you
over.
You should let your hair on fire instead of an anthill? I mean, what's the anthill
no,
to you?
No kids light their hair on fire. We always used to take the lighter fluid that my dad used on his Zippo lighter, and we would pour it all over the red anthill and light it on fire, and it was very relaxing.
Oh, that was relaxing, letting
yes,
an anthill on fire. To,
oh, are you
to,
one of these
people? Find some sort of...
Oh, okay, so now you're a tree hugger. You're going to tell me the ants are all emotional and everything, that they've got emotions and thought processes.
Excuse me?
You're
going to a therapist and he tells you to light an anthill on fire to deal with
stress,
issues
right.
from
now,
childhood?
Now, Terry Barton is the lady who is alleged to have set the letter on fire, what started the Colorado fire. If she hadn't have done that, I would not have been
he
influenced.
He was dealing with personal issues right,
right
there. She
that's
had
right.
personal evidence right there in her hand.
Well, that's what I'm dealing
she was
with.
Dealing with issues.
That's
you're
what I'm dealing,
dealing
with.
Dealing with, what, were ants attacking your house?
No,
and the neighbor comes over?
I'm talking about how I was trying to relax. I lit an anthill on fire. My neighbor interrupts.
And that causes relaxation. You can't have a cigarette?
Cigarettes will give you cancer, hello.
But lighting a fire causes, you know, hundreds of acres of fire driving people out of their houses.
You
and,
lost
and,
your
and
home.
That's some
yeah.
sort of
you lost your you lost your home, Mr. Bozell.
But I would not have lost my home had Hutchins not come over, interrupted me relaxing. Next thing I know, the shed's on fire and a whole strip of cedar fence that we put up together.
But he can't keep, like, a focus on a fire that he lit on an anthill.
Ma'am,
goes
ma'am,
to his
ma'am,
shed,
I would,
to his
I would,
house?
Ma'am, would you not talk about me as if I'm not here, please?
Okay, she was talking to me, all right?
But she's talking as if I'm not here.
I'm talking to you, Miss...
Oh, my name is Stephen Bozell. Roy
yes,
Hutchins,
I know Mr. Bozell.
Roy Hutchins has been putting incredible pressure on me to buy him a new canopy because of the 4th of July barbecue, and I told him when the FEMA money comes through, I will buy him a new canopy.
You're waiting around for federal emergency disaster funds. That money is earmarked for families in Arizona, families in parts of California, families in Colorado. It's not earmarked for a guy that set fire to an anthill and let his...
I was inspired to do it. How many times
inspired?
Are you going to tell people? Are you
I
people
mean, how
stupid?
Does a therapist inspire you?
Are you
I
people
mean, you can't
stupid?
Do some sort of reflecting, self-reflecting, writing in a notepad?
When you want to find out all about being a child again, what do? Don't you play with your dolls or do some childlike
thing? No, I go to a therapist, I talk things out, I cry, I
but you don't,
deal,
you know,
and
you,
I move on.
Don't you get on a swing set and pretend like you're a little girl again?
Who the...
Oh, well, you must have a butthole tighter than a...
Watch your language, okay?
But this woman cannot deal with being a child again.
I can
all right,
deal with being a child again, but
is...
I would never deal with, like, burning an anthill
well,
and starting wildfires and wanting some sort of
ask monetary Mr. Henry, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever burn an anthill when you were a boy?
Yes,
people
yes, I did, okay.
With all a right. magnifying glass.
I
not a whole anthill... that turns out into Colorado wildfires that are burning
well,
thousands of miles
I,
or hundreds of miles of...
Yeah.
of
okay, well, let's Mr. Henry answer the question. Did you, Mr. Henry?
What?
I'm asking Mr. Henry. He's a man. Did you ever burn an anthill when you was a boy?
An anthill?
I put firecrackers in them.
Yeah, there. He put firecrackers in them.
All right, Mr.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
but did you lose track of the fire to burn your shed
like
and your
didn't,
house?
Let me ask you, like you didn't pull a head off a Barbie doll when you was a little girl.
I never did that.
Oh, bull crap.
Look, at if she says she didn't do it...
But she's lying.
If she didn't do that.
I never did that.
You never pulled the head off a doll.
I never did that.
That is a lie.
All right, he's emotional. Meredith, thank you for your call.
Yeah, well, I have a lot more to say to him.
Okay, yeah, but maybe we got to go. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Patty on the Phil Henry Show. Patty?
Hi, Phil, are you there?
Yeah, right here, ma'am.
Yeah, I just want to let him know this is one of the most incredible stories I've ever heard in my life. Is he on the line now? Can he hear
me? Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Sir, did he use about 10 gallons of gas to burn that itty-bitty ant fire?
No, ma'am, I used lighter fluid.
How many gallons?
I used a can of lighter fluid.
How on earth could that have caused a fire big enough to burn down your half of your house and your neighbor's
house?
Well,
that freaking guy wouldn't let me alone.
I still can't see that a little bitty can of lighter fluid would do that.
All right, Patty, is that it?
No, oh no.
All right, thank you. Jimmy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got one question. One thing, you can't go to the therapist and listen to them because most of them are crazy anyway. Second of all, FEMA money, give me a break. Come on. I need to have
FEMA money on account of my house burned down.
Listen, man, there's different ways to deal with problems, and a lot of times when it's not a therapist, you got to figure it out yourself.
Well, I'm down in a bar room right now, and I may just have myself a drink.
Well, I ain't saying I'd do that, but, man, I can't believe you try to claim FEMA money on something that you did.
I didn't do it. See, it wouldn't have burned down had it not been for the fact that Roy Hutchins come over and...
Yeah, I know, and he bugged you, and you lost track of the fire, and it burned down the fence.
Right. That's exactly what happened.
Well,
Are you guys trying to tell me that I shouldn't get FEMA money because I live in Ann Hill?
You're exactly right.
How do you figure?
How do I figure? Because you called it.
I lit the Ann Hill on fire. I didn't light my house on fire.
All right, Jimmy, we're losing your phone there, buddy. Thanks for calling, okay? All right. 1-800-449-8686. You can generally get the drift here, Mr. Bozell, that people are not agreeing with the fact that you should get federal emergency disaster money because your home burned down. And the other lady making the point, how much lighter fluid did you use?
I used a can of lighter fluid. I don't know. It caught some of the dry grass.
Did you do anything else to burn that house down?
Mr. Henry, I did not do...
Were you smoking? Were you doing anything else?
I've had a Cohiba cigar, but I put that out.
Put it out where?
In some weeds that were behind it.
Yeah, in some weeds. So now we got an anthill you were burning, and you were relaxing, smoking a cigar?
Well, I was watching it burn, yes, sir.
And having yourself a good old time, and then Roy Hutchins comes over and tells you, what are you doing? And the next thing you know, the whole house is burning while you're sucking on a cigar. And for that, this guy wants Federal Emergency Management Agency disaster relief money. 1-800-449-8686. I can understand a guy burning his own house down, but wanting FEMA money? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, the voice of Steve Bozell was done by me, and those people that called in thought Steve was a real guy who wants FEMA money for lighting anthills on fire. That's pretty cool, Steve. That's a pretty good angle if you could work that. But I did used to put firecrackers in anthills, and we did used to burn anthills with lighter fluid, and if you're somebody who doesn't get that, well, then you just ought to split off the planet, because that's what young guys do. We burn anthills. Yeah! The Phil Henry Show's 4th of July Top 100 Favorite Calls of the Year is coming. A first for talk radio. Never before done on a nationally syndicated show. It was done once before on a local show, and it was done on my local show in Miami when we did the Top 100 Calls of the Year down in Miami. Well, now we're going to expand it to all 90 of our affiliates. The Top 100 Favorite Calls of the Year, July 4th. Tune in and hear us count them down. The best guests from the best calls of the year. Hear the disbelief and amazement of our callers as they talk with the ridiculous lawsuits filed by Steve Bozell, the arrogance of Ted Bell, the wacky hijinks of Cadet R.C. Collins, and the outrageous snobbery of Margaret Gray, not to mention the sexual dysfunction of Bobby and Steve Dooley. Yes, it's all there. Tune in and hear all your favorites as we count them down from 100 to 1
on the Phil Henry Show's 4th of July Top 100 Favorite Calls of the Year. And that's this coming 4th of July right here on your favorite radio station, K or W. You'll be digging it. Yeah, Steve Bozell is a real sick animal. He ought to be on our top 100 of the year. You know, the thing about lighting anthills on fire, it doesn't say anything about a kid being a mental case. It just means that he wants to see what kind of power he can have over creatures smaller than him. And ants, I loved animals. I had a field mouse as a pet. I used to collect wild animals, and they'd be my pet, but I drew the line at ants. And I never had an ant farm, although my kid's sister did, and I set fire to that one, too. Does that make me a murderer? Does it make me sick? I don't know. But our favorite thing was putting the old firecracker in the anthill. That was a gas. You know, just stuff to do. Otherwise, you're bored to tears, man. And if Steve Bozell wants to come home after a long day and put a magnifying glass on a beetle, that's his business. God, remember that? And if you weren't burning an anthill, you'd be burning what? You know, paper, garbage, something. Take the lighter fluid, you make the big long trail from the, like, one of your models. Used to be the big thing when I was a kid, building plastic models. And you'd build this thing, and you'd work on this thing, and you'd paint this thing, and you'd put the decals on it. It'd be beautiful, and then you'd blow it up with a cherry bomb. It was great. Yeah, they used to have these model competitions, you know, these hobby stores. I said, come on and get those model kits. I don't see kids building models anymore, which is fine. I'm not pining for the old days. I mean, kids got better things to do now. Rather than create, they just sit and absorb. Rather than create things, now they sit with their thumbs up their ass just absorbing a video game. Anyway, do I sound like some bitter dad? You bet. Anyway, so we go and we buy those models. And they were fantastic. They had the body and the wheels, and man, they'd have these model competitions. You could get these dragsters and those really cool-ass looking racing Woodies, and they had, Big Daddy Don Garlitz's Dodge, and you could do the Big Daddy Roth model kits and all that. And they had the cool rubber tires with the racing meets, and, you know, just awesome. Or if you were into it like the way Pelton was, he'd build those planes, those dive bombers and stuff. Or if you were really kind of a twisted and weird and, like, totally antisocial and nobody liked you, you built those Wolfman models, you know, those Frankenstein model kits and stuff. And so you'd build these things, and you'd paint them delicately, every little piece, and you'd put the tire on, and you'd have it all set there, and then you'd enter it in the competition. You know, your father would, he'd talk about, come on, why don't you take it down to Eddie's Hobby Shot, and we'll do the competition this Sunday. Yeah, okay, Dad, and you'd go down there, and you'd win first prize, be proud of yourself, then you'd bring it home, take it out in the backyard, shove a firecracker up the tailpipe, and blow the freaking thing into 900 pieces. That was my fun. It was great. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Christine, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Christine? I hate you, you slut. No, I'm kidding, Christine. I just... And now the Phil Henry Show presents another uplifting email. Uplifting email. This is a portion of the program where we bring you not email that is critical, but email that constructs, email that creates, and email that helps us get on a better path. Bud, you have today's uplifting email?
I do, Phil. This today's uplifting email comes from Scotty's Auto Air. And here it is. Beautiful email.
Go ahead.
Hi. Please tell Mr. Henry to jump up a camel's ass. Thanks, Scotty's Auto Air. What are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at you. And once again, the question is, how do you figure, please tell Mr. Henry to jump up a camel's ass? How do you figure that's uplifting email?
Well, it was funny, and that's the only one we got.
I don't think it's funny.
I do.
Well, you're not telling you to jump up a camel's ass, are they?
I guess not.
Yeah. It's the only one you got, huh?
I told Mr. Hall, he said to read it because it's funny.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send an email tomorrow that says, hi, please tell Mr. Hall to jump up a camel's ass. You want me to read that on the air?
Oh, no, you get fired then.
Yeah, uh-huh.
This just been an uplifting email on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And then, of course, let's not forget about huffing all that glue when you were building those models, too. That was always fun, although I didn't really do it myself. Honest to God, I never did it myself. I'm not saying I didn't get high, but I didn't actually try and get high on this stuff. It was just a residual effect. That glue, they give you that airplane glue. They called it airplane glue for the airplane models, but it was model glue. And they found out you could get stoned on this. So, you know, what did they do? They outlawed it. And so, but kids had already gotten their first taste. So the next thing you know, they're sniffing hairspray, Glade. They're huffing everything. You know, God, I could get high on that. Maybe there's something else around here I can get high on. They're sniffing bleach, sniffing, you know, spot remover. Before that, so you can talk all you want about the doors of perception by Aldous Huxley or was it William Blake? I forget. And you can talk about all of the works of the great psychedelic writer Timothy Leary, but it was the guys that made the airplane glue that really opened up the drug age. Because before that stuff, nobody knew. Now, there wasn't any suburban kid that really knew from pot. But airplane glue, you bet. Then, you know, you didn't smoke. Most kids got high for the first time sniffing Bactine or something like that. They, you know, their own underwear, just anything. Huffing like diapers. They were so far removed from any urban landscape where they might procure marijuana or any of these other exotic and romantic drugs, so they wound up just sniffing like their kid brother's dirty underwear. It's just anything they could get high on, they don't know. So check this out. Supermodel Cindy Crawford's weighing in on a space race. She says, you know, if they invite me up there, I'll go. Apparently the Russians ain't too hot and bothered about having Lance Bass with them. Unless one of them's gay. Because Lance is cute. But these guys are going to go up into outer space for a freaking six-month haul with Lance Bass? Come on, give them a break. How long do they go up with these celebrities? They go up for like a week? Do they pay for a week? It's tremendous. I always thought that I was going to go to the moon. I didn't know that I needed $30 million to get there, or however much it is. It's like $20 million. But apparently the Russians, when they found out this guy Lance Bass from Backstreet, from Take It in the Backstreet, was it? The NSYNC, yeah. When they found out that guy was going to go, they just went, oh, thanks a lot. Going to go with some American queer? I want to go with Cindy Crawford. And so the word leaked back to Cindy, and she said, how much you guys paying? And they went, what? Oh, okay, if it's... You know, we'll go give you $20 million, but you're going to have to do a few somersaults up there, honey, if you know what we mean. And she said, I'm still listening. So it's still, there's negotiation going back and forth. Cindy may be able to bankroll buying her way into another movie. I mean, she may be able to bankroll another movie if they can pay her enough bread to go up there, do a few twists and turns with those Ruskies for about 6 months, and they come back with a big smile on their face, and she looks like she needs a shower. I'm telling you, It's the least we can do for our big Russian friends who, word has it, their women are a little bit like a polar bear with just a little more hair. Although, that's bullcrap, because if you've ever seen a Russian woman, they're actually very beautiful. Haven't you seen the figure skaters? How did they get this whole babushka-wearing Russian woman, this whole strong-like-bull thing? Those figure skaters are absolutely a knockout. Anyway, supermodel Cindy Crawford said Thursday she was considering taking a multi-million-dollar trip into space with the Russian cosmonaut. She said, I would go if I could be back in a week, and if they invited me, I don't know. Because the guy, Valery Korzyn, the new commander of the International Space Station, joked earlier this month he'd much rather see Crawford aboard the outpost than Lance Bass of the U.S. boy band NSYNC, who is preparing himself for an October trip. He went shopping at Fred Siegel's. And he got a few surprises for the guys. If given final approval by Russia's space agency, Bass would be the third amateur to pay his way into orbit after American millionaire Dennis Tito and, of course, that other jackass. Both Tito and Shuttlesworth are reported to have paid $20 million for their seats aboard a Soyuz craft. But what they didn't tell you is they both had to put out homosexually on board for a straight month without any let-up, without coming up for air.
Well, it sure is nice up here.
Oh, they didn't tell you?
What are you talking about?
Get into these and get in the back. I've been up here for 6 months, Charlie, and you're the best-looking thing I've seen.
Wait a minute. I'm not...
Put a ball gag in his mouth. Put. Okay. Lance Bass goes into space. First thing you know, and here is Mr. Bat, and there he's just floating by the window with a ball gag. I'm sorry, pal. I mean, it isn't really, like it's not really my thing, you know. But you're it. Tag, you're it. You don't think we just have you guys coming up here to so we can be photographed with you, did you? You're gonna have to do some work here. Wait a second. I don't just come on. Get into the stirrups. And if you can, make us sound like a sheep or so. I don't know, just anything like that. Just to break up the monotony, all right? And remember what they say.
In space, there is no lubrication.
All right, anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. So, President Bush is urging Americans to make themselves and their nation healthier through exercise, proper diet, and regular checkups. Oh. The evidence is clear. A healthier America is a stronger America, the president said while kicking off a four-day fitness campaign. The president would like to see each and every one of us kick ass. Overseeing an exercise fair underway in the backyard of the White House, Bush said poor health weakens the nation through the high cost of fighting disease and illness. That's what I'm telling my kids. I'm looking at the way my kids eat lately, and I'm telling you, it's beginning to make me want to throw up. They get their baked potato, they cake in that grated cheese, then they lay in some butter, then they lay in some sour cream, and then they melt crap all over it. See, what they do is they lay in the butter, the sour cream, and then they grate cheese all over it, and then they stick it in the microwave so it just all melts all over it and becomes just a heart-clogging, phenomenal piece of food. And then they sit down with their big, fat, red cheeks and just... You ever heard kids eat? I go, back it down, Jim. What is up with you cats, man? Because one of the guys, a little bit of a weight problem, okay? And I understand. And I'm not making fun, all right? But when you got a little, you got a kid in your family with a weight problem, I want to ask you a question, and I'm being very serious now. How do you get them to lose, how do you get a kid to lose weight? How do you even get a kid to wrap his head around the idea that he can't eat as much? It's almost cruel to tell a kid that he can't eat as much. Kids like food. I mean, it's the one thing that's cool about being a kid. You can just shovel all kinds of garbage. Now, you can say, don't buy the crap food. But what constitutes crap food? Is a baked potato crap? Is cheese crap? And do you punish all of the kids just because one happens to be a tubbo? And I don't know, you know, I say, well, look, he's in football. Maybe it's going to come off of him. It ain't happened yet. He did a whole season of football last year, and he still kind of got the weight. So then the next idea was, let's get him outside and get him into some exercise. Well, you know what? You don't do that either. He's sitting up there on a computer. He's playing a video game. He's got a thumb about the size of the Empire State Building, and the rest of them, you know, he's got one big fat thumb from pushing those buttons. Maybe he's got them fat genes, although I don't believe in that. I think that there is, you know, there's a way of controlling it. So this morning I said, what's for breakfast? I think I'll make myself some bacon, okay? And I see him over there licking the grease off the plate. I said, come on! I'll make some bacon here, you know.
You want that grease?
Yes, I want the grease. You ain't having it. Get away from it! Fat kids are... They're a challenge because... You know, they'll cry, and you'll put them through hell if you say, all right, and you can't have any ice cream. You may not have any of this. You can't, you know, they're in tears, and it rips your heart out to see their fat little bodies quivering through all those sobs, just going, as the blubber wiggles. And, jeez, I don't know what to do. How about if we let them have one meal a day, and the rest of the day all he gets is that grape nuts crap? Which we've got tons of. We have got box after box after box of colon cleaning, fiber, grape nuts, bran, mung. It's there, box after box. And Maria, oh, this is just wonderful. And she puts it in her yogurt. And isn't this great? Yeah, I'm having a blast here. It's wonderful.
But really, honey, it'll clean out the colonic.
Oh, great.
And it makes you just fresh and your pink cheeks are pink. And
so she's got all of that, and when I look in there for something honest, something decent, like Frosted Flakes, maybe some Honey Nut Cheerios, maybe just a one decent bowl of Count Chocula, what do I got in there? I got the obscenity of all bran. So I said, hey, why don't you eat the All Brand for lunch and breakfast, and tonight we'll blow it out, man. You can have a whole gallon of ice cream. But I don't know. So he takes the ice cream, he's squeezing the chocolate on it, cutting up the bananas, throwing in the cherries, then he's getting some of that lard. He just takes a big thing of lard and throws it in, and just for good measure. Now what he's doing, he's got a straw stuck in a Crisco can. Just, well, I gotta just cut through and cut out the middle, man, and just suck pure fat. Okay. He melts down a whole can of Crisco and just puts a straw in it. Now what he's doing is he's snorting fat. He's drying out pork rinds and snorting it. He's just lays crumbling up pork rinds and just... Well, you said not to use drugs. Well, I didn't say snort pork rinds, did I? It was better than dying from a drug overdose. Yeah, right. Too much fat around the heart. You ever tried snorting pork rinds? Don't. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, you might want to try mainlining it. It's really great. Hey, listen, sports fans. Don't forget about the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It'll be coming out on our website on Monday to go along with our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Now you can be fully equipped. You can be fully wardrobed and clothed in all of your Phil Henry show fare. Your Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt and the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt available in our Phil Henry Show souvenir shop on our website, philhenryshow.com. While there, pick up a backstage pass that makes all of our audio, classic comedy audio, available to you for only $6.95 a month. That's the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com.
Now, Phil Hendry.
I just put her on the air. Ma'am, what is your name?
Yes, my name is Carol Bingham.
And where do you live?
I live in Bellflower, California.
Can you tell me what has happened?
I have been babysitting my niece. Her name is Vivian. She is 3 years of age. She apparently walked out of our house this afternoon. I live in the 3300 block of Rock Avenue. I don't know where she is. I have talked to neighbors.
Have you called the police?
Well, I'm trying to tell you what I've done. I have talked with neighbors, and I'm going to call the police, but I wanted to call you and other radio outlets, other news outlets, to see what they can do.
Because the best bet, ma'am, if you've lost your niece, is to call the police, okay?
Well, sir, I know she's not a white girl. I know that. That's why you're working so hard to get rid of me. But
I'm not working. Wait a minute. Whoa, hold on. I'm not working hard to get rid of you, ma'am. I wanted to make sure that you get in touch with the police.
Well, Mr. Henry, I heard what you said last week.
What did I say last week?
That if Elizabeth Smart, who was the young lady who was abducted in Salt Lake City, were black, that no one would care. And so I thought, as a white man, that you were unusually sympathetic. And you were different from the rest of the whites. Maybe a step above in your way of thinking. But I guess you're trying to get rid of me and get me off the phone. And
no, ma'am. I don't want to get you off the phone. I tell you what, give me a physical description. I did say what I said about Elizabeth Smart. This has got nothing to do with race. Give me a physical description.
She is 3 feet tall, African-American child in pigtails. She was wearing blue shorts and a yellow T-shirt. And she was carrying a little bucket and had rubber flip-flop shoes. And she was heading east on Creek Avenue.
All right, so we have the description.
You have a description, so I... So what I'm saying, I guess you want to hang up now because, after all, she's just a black child.
Ma'am, I want to ask you something. Why are you saying that? I'm not hanging up on you, but you do need to call the police.
Sir, I will call the police, but I'm shocked that you won't take me more seriously.
Give me this. I'm taking you seriously. You're telling me that I don't care about this child because she's black.
I heard you on your program say that if Elizabeth Spark was a black child, that no one would care.
I remember when I said that.
And I assume, Mr. Henry, after hearing your comment, that you are an enlightened white man, and you are not like all the other whites who don't care about black children as much as white children.
You're bringing this up. I'm asking you.
But if you want me to hang up and call the police, I will.
But have you called the police?
I'm going to call the police, but I thought that I would have a sympathetic ear from you. I have lost my niece. You are the one white talk show host who will take seriously a missing black child, and that's why I've called you.
Give me her description again, okay? Your niece's description.
Her name is Vicky Blaine. She is 4 feet tall. I don't know. She was wearing a pink dress. Her hair is in a ponytail. And she was holding a Barbie doll. She's wearing black patent leather shoes.
You said her name was Vivian and that she was 3 feet tall, okay?
Mr. Henry, I'm in a state of shock. I have lost this child.
Then you have to call the police.
All right, but there you go again, all right, trying to get me off the phone because all you really care about are white people losing their children, and all I'm trying to do is find my sweet granddaughter before she is...
Your name is what?
My name is Clara Bingham.
Clara Bingham is with me here, and you've lost your niece. Can we call the police for you?
If you will keep me on the phone.
You want me to keep you on the phone?
Yes. Because I want you to prove to me that you're not a racist like all the other white talk show hosts.
And well, what other white talk show hosts are you talking about?
I've been on with all the other racists on the Don and Ken show, Bill Handel. All of them want to blow me off the line because my niece is black and she's not white like Elizabeth Smart, so they don't want to talk to me. And all I want is for you to help me find my poor little granddaughter because I'm worried about it.
Let me make a contact with the police, okay?
But does that mean you're going to hang up?
Well, what other purpose would I have to talk with you?
Then you're a racist. Then you're
how am I a racist?
Because if I was Elizabeth Smart's mommy and daddy right now, I was her mommy, or I was your daddy, you would have me on the phone. You'd be interviewing me all the hour through, wouldn't you?
If I had Elizabeth Smart's parents on the phone right now...
Wouldn't you be interviewing them all hour?
I guess I would, yes.
All right, then I would think that it would be right for you to interview me for the whole hour, too.
Ma'am, I have an hour of radio to do.
So you can't be bothered with a little black girl who's missing, but everybody's all talking about Elizabeth Smart because she's white. And that's what I'm talking about. You understand?
I understand, ma'am, and I suppose you've...
All the white people, all they care about is find a white child, but a black child is missing, nobody cares. My niece is gone, and I need to find her so very, very hard.
I got to give a phone number out here, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I would like to get in touch with the police so that that we can find this little girl, okay?
I would love for you to get in touch with the police. But I want you to take me seriously when I say that you have to prove to me you're not a racist.
And I'm a racist because...
Because all you ever talk about and all the other whites talk about Elizabeth Smart, but my little black niece is missing. And so you keep me on the radio, prove you care about missing black child.
I got to tell you something. Your name's Clara, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't like being called a racist.
Well, then why are you people in the white media always concerned about some white child... With a little black child admits like there's no coverage at all. If my voice sounded like this, hi, I'm Carol Jones. All your white listeners would be falling all over themselves trying to get to the phone to send me money. Sniffing dogs, they'd have a rash of volunteers combing the countryside and them dogs would sniff.
Well, you haven't lost a niece or we don't know if she's lost, okay?
No, but I'll tell you something right now, Mr. Henry, that if you were racist, then you will not speak to me for the next hour. But if you are, if you're not a racist, then you will speak to me on the next hour on your show.
So you are blackmailing me. You're calling me a racist if I don't keep you on my show for a solid hour.
Just like you would if you had on that Elizabeth Smart family and all them.
You're calling me a racist because I'd keep Elizabeth Smart's parents on for an hour and not you.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm going to find my nephew because I love him very much. If you don't help, then you're a racist.
Well, I don't think that's fair.
Well, sir, I'll tell you right now, I think it's true. I think you're a sheet-wearing Klan, but you don't care about a child of color.
I do care. I'm going to call the police. Don't call me a racist.
Then you keep me on the air to talk to me.
You better get in touch with this. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Her name's Clara Bingham. She's lost her niece, Vivian, who's 3 and is 3 feet tall or 4 feet tall. She's either wearing blue shorts or a pink dress. She's either got her hair in pigtails or a ponytail. The woman says she's in shock, and she says that I'm not talking to her because I've been talking to her for 15 minutes. Because I'm a white talk show host, and all I care about is Elizabeth Smart and all the other missing white kids, and not about some little black kid that's missing. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
For that Elizabeth Smart lady.
Look, I know that Elizabeth Smart is a white girl, and I know that there's been a lot of media attention on Elizabeth Smart.
That is correct. And the point I'm making, Mr. Henry, if she had been a black girl, there had been none. There had been none.
All right, so your niece is missing, and I haven't been able to call the police because you want me to keep you on the phone to prove that I'm not a racist.
Yes, sir. I think that is very valuable.
Rather than finding your niece.
Yes, sir, because I think I want to find my niece. I love my niece very much. But I need the help of the white media. And I'm trying to get you to prove that you're not just like every other white man or white woman who don't care about black people. I want you to keep me on the phone and talk to me and interview me like they had them Smart people. They're interviewing Elizabeth Smart parents and had them on CNN and Fox News and everything. But they're not, nobody interviewing me.
All right, I'm interviewing you, okay?
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Jamie on the Phil Henry Show. Jamie, go ahead.
Yes, Sam, is it your niece, your nephew, or your granddaughter?
I said it was my granddaughter.
And then you said it was your niece.
Well, ma'am,
I have been in a state of shock. Okay, you can be in a state of
have
shock.
Have you ever lost a child?
It's your granddaughter.
Have you ever lost a child?
Nephew or niece? No, ma'am, I've got
okay.
My little baby right here.
Then that's easy for you to say.
No, ma'am, I would know if my baby did come up missing or one of my nephews that it wasn't my granddaughter or my niece.
I had said it was my niece because I was in a state of shock.
And does she have on flip-flops or black patent leather shoes?
Have you called up Elizabeth Smart's family to ask them all kinds of questions? No, you call up a black woman.
I am a black woman, I think you're a fruitcake.
You call up a black woman to abuse her.
I am an African-American lady.
I don't think so. You sound like
I
a cracker.
I just learned how to speak.
You sound like a cracker.
You're calling me a cracker.
I'm saying you sound like a cracker,
but
that's all.
Apparently, whoever's listening to you tonight knows that you're a fruitcake because you can't seem to decide who's missing.
I know.
Or what they have on.
My niece is missing. She had walked out of the house this afternoon at 3300 block.
Well, it sounds like you were smoking crack if you didn't see her walk out of the house.
All right. Okay, well, you go spread your legs for another white man.
Okay, ladies, do we have...
No, I can throw her right back at her if she wants to go like that.
We just want to know...
If she wants to go that way, I can go that way.
Call me a cracker, and I'm an African-American lady.
Well, all right, you told me I'm smoking crack. So I say to you, you go spread your legs for another white man.
What this is all about?
What, you crude telling me I smoke crack?
You called me a cracker.
Looks
this
like
has
I
nothing
you.
To do about us.
Looks like I got you, didn't it?
Is it a boy, girl?
She had on a Spider-Man outfit.
Dog.
It was a boy. It's a boy. And it had on a Spider-Man
outfit.
Now it's
a boy,
I said
but
it was a boy.
Your granddaughter.
Are you questioning me and you are some white woman calling up.
Because we can't.
You black.
How can anybody help you if your story keeps changing?
Jamie, are you black?
Pardon me?
You're black, huh?
Correct.
Okay. And you live in the South.
Correct.
And you have an accent.
Well, she don't sound like any black woman I know.
Well, she doesn't have the...
What, she don't talk like a black person? So now you're racist again.
No, you're the one who said that she didn't sound black, not me.
And then called me a cracker.
Because you sound like a cracker.
All right, well, how is this helping us find your... Is it your niece or your nephew?
Let me explain.
Our granddaughter.
I'm going to tell both of you something right now. I'm not missing any child.
Lady, you need medication.
No.
This
I called up to prove a point.
You're trying to get
let me tell you something. I called up to prove a point.
So no one's
the white media don't care about a missing black child, and I proved it.
Everyone cares about Phil Rick, whether they're white, black, orange, or green.
And I got you, Mr. Henry. I got you. You said that you can't...
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you've been using my show for the last 20 minutes and you aren't missing a child?
No, I'm not. And I proved my point. And I
you are a sick woman.
My next-door neighbor, Rose, I said, you watch that Phil Henry on the radio. He's a racist bastard. And I...
You calling me a racist? I had you on the air for 20 minutes.
You're a sick lady, man.
How am I sick? I'm trying to make a point for our people, which you apparently you don't care about.
No, I care about my people. I care about everybody, especially children.
How come no white folk want to find a black child? All they want to do is run around and find a rich
oh
white girl.
Oh, my God.
They
you need medication.
A rich white girl.
I'm getting off this phone
you
right
go,
now.
You go hang out with some more white folks.
Oh, God.
God.
Hello.
I'm here. So you're not missing any child?
No, sir, I'm not missing a child, but I did prove my point. I proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt that the white media don't care about a child of color because a child of color ain't as good as a white kid. And so look what happened. I come right out now and I say, I'm missing my niece. My niece is black. You don't care. Did you call the police?
Did I call the police?
Yeah.
I was going to...
Oh, you didn't even call the police. So, in other words, a black child, Nick, you didn't even call the police? You dirty.
Max, on the Phil Henry Show, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I just wanted to ask you a question. Did you really believe she'd lost a child?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, dumbass.
I couldn't believe it because she changed her story so much.
Well, I know
Let
she changed
her story.
She said she'd been in... She said she'd been in... She was in shock.
So she calls the Phil Henry store.
Hey,
why didn't she call the police?
Hey, white boy.
Why should you call the police, Phil, when she wouldn't?
Don't talk about me like I'm not here, all right?
Well, why would you call? Why wouldn't you call the police instead of calling Phil Henry and yell at him because he didn't call the police?
Because I wanted to get the help of the media, too, so they could spread the word.
You should have called the police first. The police can get the dogs out. The police can get the searchers out, not Phil Henry.
You know that little Utah girl's name was Beulah Jane or something like that. Ain't no way they'd be looking for her right now.
I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah. You've spoken
no, I don't believe it.
Spoken like a real white man.
No, no.
Like
you want to call me a cracker, too?
No, I called you white man.
No, you're going to call me a cracker,
no,
too, because I know the way you are.
No, I was going to call you cash,
but
I wouldn't call
like
you
I said, you get on Phil Henry's case because he didn't call the police and you didn't do it.
You were just about to call
you
me a spade.
You were just trying to get some media.
No, I'm trying.
You wanted to be on radio for an hour.
You want to call me a spade, didn't you?
He didn't say anything like that.
I want to call you what you are.
What am I?
You're a liar.
I said I'm a liar. I said I did it to prove.
That's right.
I said I had to prove what, how racist white people
no,
are.
No, you didn't prove anything.
Yes, I did.
You proved how much of an idiot you are.
No, you proved that.
No,
you didn't
prove anything.
Black girl. You don't
because
care about no
you
black
proved
girl.
You didn't care either because you wouldn't call the police.
I called up the media as the first place you should call.
No, you should call the police first.
No, because you got to find out where that child
No, you call the
well,
police first.
Let me
first.
Ask you a question.
I
what
you
good is that information going to do to me way up here in Michigan?
What good is what information?
That your daughter is missing. I can't come and search for her.
But you can put the word out. And let
Why?
Everybody
I'm up
know.
Here in Michigan. Where are you living?
You can let the people know. That
Where do you live?
I live in Bellflower, California.
How
what,
so,
what good is that
so
information going to do me?
If you up there, you let the word out of all the people in the neighborhood a black girl missing.
Up here in Michigan?
Yes, sir.
What good is it going to do?
In case
you need to call
up.
Your local people first and then call Phil Henry.
In case they put her on a bus and she shows up in your neighborhood.
What are you talking about, in case you...
Look at this. Two white men jumping all over a black lady.
Yeah.
It's been like that for history all down the
years. Oh, yeah.
Years.
We're bad.
And now here y'all jumping all over me again.
You know, everything we said is got some racial thing.
I called up to find my missing niece. You haven't found her yet, have you?
Because she ain't missing.
But if she was...
No, nah, wouldn't
well,
it take
more
than
a she.
What's that?
It's not a she.
It was
it's
my
a,
nephew.
It's a boy. It was a nephew, a grandson.
That's right, my nephew.
Wearing flip-flops, wearing patent leather shoes,
right.
Wearing a pink outfit, wearing a Spider-Man costume. I knew it wasn't true.
I was in shock, all right?
No.
I was missing
if you're
child.
In shock, what are you doing calling the radio show?
If you're in shock, then are you making it up?
Yes, I am making it up.
Then how could you be in shock?
On account I got the wrong information. See, you don't understand.
How can you be... Get out of here.
She just wants
you
said, publicity.
You're just a liar.
I got rid of her. All right, listen, Max, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Max, you a lying white man.
Shut up. Spider-Man outfit, pink dress, pigtails, and oh yeah, it's my nephew. I don't know if Elizabeth Smart were black we'd be looking for or not. Who knows? Maybe if it was... I don't know. Maybe if it was Angela Bassett or something, I... 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry's show here. That lady called in to test whether I was a racist or not. Calling in to find out whether I was a racist or not to see if I would respond to a missing black child as quickly as I might respond to a missing white child. Well, I ain't the missing persons bureau. I'm not sitting here fielding calls to try to find kids. Best thing to do is call the cops. And if the child was a missing black kid, I said it last week, I'll say it again. You're right, lady. They probably wouldn't be investing as much media attention in the situation. But, you know, there's a reason for that, beyond racism. And the reason for it is, even though it could be racist, the reason for it is because most of the people in the country are white. So you're always appealing to the mass of the audience, right? And if they're all white and the missing white kid, then you do that. If the missing black kid, well, it's kind of narrow casting. Or whatever. 1-800-449-8686. How do you like that for a load of crap, huh? I really fast shuffled my way through the corporate boogie-woogie on that one. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry. I called your program up and told you that my niece was missing.
Yeah, why did you say that?
Because I wanted to see what your reaction would be.
Your niece is not missing.
No, but I wanted to see if you would give me the same love and respect and concern that you would give a white family.
Well, did I not give you concern?
I don't think you gave enough. No, sir, I do not think you did. And I think you need to show respect for a woman who has lost her niece.
But you haven't. You haven't lost your niece.
But I want you, for the remainder of this hour, as long as you have me on your phone, to treat me as if I had, so I can see how you would treat a black woman who had lost her niece.
What?
I said I want you to treat...
You want me to treat you as if you've lost your niece, even though you haven't, so you can see how I treat a black woman.
That is absolutely correct. I'm tired of white people talking down to black people of this country. It is time for all of us to speak on equal ground and equal terms. And if my little girl had been a white girl and walked out of my house this afternoon, you can be rest assured there'd be all kinds of white people talking about it. Because she's a black girl, nobody wants to talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it because she isn't missing.
That's one reason, but there are...
What do you mean that's one reason? That's the only reason why nobody's talking about it. Sue, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. Yes. Hi, Phil. How's everything going?
Ma'am.
Oh, my God, Miss Bingham, you are an idiot. You're wasting everybody's time over something that's not even true.
Now you're talking down a black woman. You're talking down a black woman.
Listen to me. You are insulting.
Don't be calling me no racial names.
You are insulting the entire human race.
How do you figure?
How do I figure? With your ignorance, for God's sake.
I did ambush journalism.
Is your child missing? Is your granddaughter or grandson or nephew, are they missing?
No, they're not. But I did ambush journalism, and I proved that Mr. Henry racist because he didn't care as much for a missing black child.
Excuse me, the only one who's racist, the only one who's making racial slurs are you. You're the
that
one.
Last man,
all the way from California. It must be the land of fruits and nuts, I
tell you. That's original. That's real original, man. You got all... That's so original.
You know
man,
what? If you're
nuts.
So concerned that you're
you
know, not that,
that
black
man,
children are overlooked, why don't you get off your duff and go start an organization that will find black children that are missing?
Oh, so no, so, I
tell
so
you
the
what,
other organization.
Broaden your horizons and find not only black but find white children.
You're racist. You only want to find black children.
Am I a racist?
I'm supposed to have an organization only for finding black children, and all the other children, you find your white children?
I tell you what, you have the energy to call Phil Henry and to make him.
Well, he's a racist, too, because he's a Klan, sheet-wearing, no good.
I talked to you for a half an hour about your missing kid, okay?
Cross-burning cracker.
I talked to you for half an hour, and then you said to me that your niece... Does your niece even exist?
What do you mean?
Do you have a niece?
No, I do not.
Oh, thank
you. You don't
God.
Even have
thank
a niece.
God.
Do you have a nephew?
Is safe.
No, I have a sister. I have a husband.
Please tell me you don't have any children with your attitude.
What's wrong? Listen to this lady bark. You Lexus-driving, wide-ass cracker.
Thank you very much. You know
well,
what?
That was
I
really
appreciate
a...
that.
No, I really do. I find you all, you cracker drive at Lexus, driving around out there, have no respect
Alexis,
for black
I'm
people.
Driving in a goddamn Chevette.
Oh, and listen to that mouth on you, taking the Lord's name in vain. You don't hear what I want to say. If a little black child got ground up in a meat grinder and come back decapitated,
you
wouldn't
know
even care about that.
But I if, hear you abusing
John F. Kennedy fly his plane into the ground,
that could
you
assist
you. Him all the time. Well, driving me out of my mind. You're driving me around the bend.
Miss Bingham.
You're flipping my lid.
Let me tell you what I hear. I hear you abusing a system that could assist someone if their child is missing.
Thank God we didn't have any police respond to this.
Because you were racist. You didn't call the police.
I'm not going to call the police because you didn't have any missing kid.
But if
How
I did,
call the
they
police?
Are looking out for if she was white, I'm going to go get me a white niece.
Well, that'll be really interesting.
I tell you what, why don't you spread your legs and satisfy yourself like you told that poor woman that lives down south.
Why, you white-ass cracker. I
tell
you what
I'll
do.
Much.
There you
I
go with it.
Well,
that.
I appreciate your insult, too.
Phil
I can
Henry.
Throw right on back. It's just as well you do.
Phil.
I'll tell you right now, I'm a pitcher. I ain't a catcher.
Phil, you know
yes,
what
ma'am.
I would tell you?
Yeah.
I would tell you, get her
I'm
address,
a pitcher,
and
I
would,
there.
I would, I would put a lawsuit on her ass for taking up the time of a public radio station.
Well, I can't. Unfortunately, I have to allow
He has to allow me on the air, otherwise he's a racist.
I have to allow
know,
her on the air.
What I would tell you to do is just hang up.
Listen,
this is fruitless.
Hold on for a second, if you wouldn't mind. Sue, are you there?
Yeah.
Sue, hang on, because I've got Jamie. Jamie, go ahead. Jamie and Sue, you're on with...
My name is Tara Bingham. You forgot my name?
I didn't forget your name.
Miss Bingham, this is Jamie again from the South.
I forget.
The African-American lady.
Oh, that lady claiming,
you
claiming to be a black woman, that's right.
Okay, ma'am, so I went and I got an education and learned to speak, not in Ebonics. I'm being called a cracker.
I don't talk no Ebonics. I'm talking good to you.
Okay, but I don't have that accent. I've got a Southern drawl.
Where's that white woman? She's still there? Is that white woman still there?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I sure am.
But, ma'am, you need, and this will be the last call I make, because this, you really
you know,
don't even warrant...
I work for a dentist, and you have a lateral lisp. You know that? It sounds like this, like you're talking like this.
No, ma'am, I'm on a
Forget
cell phone.
Forget about that, okay? She's on a cell phone.
I'm on a cell phone.
You got a white man sticking up for a black woman. That's a new one.
Oh, for God's sakes.
But, ma'am,
Jamie,
you need help.
That white woman now.
Jamie, tell her how it's an insult
that,
to not only
Jamie,
the black race, but
Jamie,
the white race,
Jamie,
everyone.
Jamie,
man,
Jamie don't you take no direction from a white... You taking direction from a white woman, Jamie. That you do. You are not doing that.
No, ma'am, I'm so furious with you right now.
You look at that white woman.
I can't see straight.
You got egged on by the white woman. That's how come you're angry. You can't think
you
of
are
yourself.
A sick woman. No, I'm
Miss
angry.
Bingham, you are so ignorant. I swear to goodness.
On the
these
air.
Two women
there
have been on
be
here.
You all egging on with a white woman. Now look at that.
No, she wasn't egged on by a white woman. She called in angry. The white lady called up.
What's your problem?
My problem
what's
is...
Difference? Excuse me, what difference does it make what color I am?
You are. What color are you, Sue?
I am white, but what
yeah,
difference
no kidding,
does that make?
I figured that out as soon as you open your mouth up.
If somebody's child is missing, it doesn't matter if they're green or checkered.
Yeah,
who cares? We got to find the child.
But you don't care about my child because you say she's wearing a Spider-Man outfit. And
but you made it
no
up.
Child. You have no child.
You have
you
no child. Help.
What if I did?
If you did... Then I'd still want the kid to be lost.
Racist cracker, no good.
Yeah, see you later. I've had enough of her stupid commentary.
Yeah, I'm off, Phil. Hey,
thank you.
Best of luck to all of y'all.
Very nice, guys. It's great. 1-800-449-8686. Now, that's talk radio at its finest. You have just heard, and you hear it every day on this show, the finest talk radio in the country, because it opens up talk radio for what it really is, a whole lot of confusing crap. just a whole lot of hot air. But at least our hot air is entertaining. Anyway, the voice of Clara Bingham was done by me, and I also did my own voice, and those people had called in, well, they thought she was real. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, I've listened to all kinds of talk radio in my day. I've listened to sports talk, psychology talk, lawyer talk, gardening talk. I've listened to political talk. I've listened to morning zoos, afternoon zoos, middays with Eddie, Blowy, and Blow. And I've listened to all kinds of shows. And you know what my favorite talk show is on the radio? This one. This is the one that I like the best. This is the one that makes me laugh. I get a kick out of it. I don't know about anybody else. This is the Phil Hendry Show. There ain't nothing like it on the radio. There hasn't been anything like it on the radio before. And I guarantee if anything comes along after, they'll have copped it from us. It's the Phil Hendry Show. And let me tell you how you can show your loyalty if you want. Frankly, you don't have to show Jack, but buy one of these shirts, okay? That means anybody that comes along who is a fan of the show, they'll know that you are too. Get a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Or the new Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. You can get either one of these in the new Phil Hendry Show souvenir store. Now, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a royal blue and black shirt, 65% polyester, 35% rayon, perfect bowling shirt. Comes in all men's sizes, small through extra, extra large. Orders ship within 2 to 4 weeks, and you can pick it all up there on our website, philhendryshow.com. And premiering on Monday is the new Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. The Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. And by the way, Jay, is he on the line talking to you right now, Janice? Let me get him on the phone for just a minute. Jay, are you there? Okay, tell us about this. The Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is the California.
Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is the shirt that we are volunteer police agents across country.
Now, what are the other ones that...
Well, my brother, Leon Santos, of course, is part of the Beaver Battalion of Oregon.
And what is the Beaver Battalion of Oregon?
That is Volunteer Police Agency in Oregon. He is a field marshal. And
Wait. You got a Beaver Battalion of Oregon, and he's the field marshal.
That's correct.
What's your rank?
I'm Brigadier Admiral.
So on the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, it'll say Brigadier Admiral?
That is correct.
Can I get a Field Marshal shirt from the Beaver Battalion of Oregon?
I don't know if Beaver Battalion of Oregon has a T-shirt as yet. There's also the Florida Gator Simulated Brigade and the Pretend Police of New York.
The Florida Gator Simulated Brigade and the Pretend Police of New York, and all of these are volunteer police agencies.
Right, we take a peek over the shoulder of the police.
And that's what it says on the back of the shirt.
That's correct. Because after 9/11, Phil, I think we all kind of took a step back and took a look at what's going on in our country, and we all just said, you know, I think we all got a piece in keeping this country secure, not just a few of us, but all of us, Citizens Auxiliary Police, with our sub-commanders, our brigadier admirals, our sub-generals, and, of course, our major captain, and, of course, our captain major, Elvis Newton. We're all on the front lines trying to keep America safe. Now, I was saying,
can I just interrupt you?
Sure.
Does anybody ever tell you that when you talk, it sounds like you're gagging on, like, something long and thin and hard?
Yeah, I have. People told me about that. I don't know.
All right. So, and your brother Leon Santos?
That's correct. That's my brother Leon. He lives up in Eugene with his wife and two kids. And they started their own volunteer police agency.
And that's the Beaver
Battalion of Oregon. And he's the field marshal.
Is the head of your thing is a major?
Head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a major, but the head of the Beaver Battalion is a field marshal.
A field marshal.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's like a field marshal thing. Isn't that a European thing? We don't have any field marshals in the American military, do we?
I don't know. It's a field marshal. I think he is. Or a commandant or something like that.
Okay. Well, good luck with the sale of these shirts because... as you know, I get a piece of all the action.
That's correct, Phil. I'm very happy to be doing that for you here at Citizens Auxiliary Police and Hope Pass Law.
You do sound like you've got something, like, stuck way down in your throat, man.
Thank you.
All right. That's Jay. He can talk and have, like, a kielbasa in his mouth at the same time. That's great. 1-800-449-8686. So don't forget our Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt, and that is shipped within 2 to 4 weeks as well, and that comes in all of the men's sizes, small, medium, large, extra large, or extra, extra large. And when you wear that shirt around, or it's the Ted's Beverly Hills shirt, people say, God, where did you get, what's that about? Well, it's, you know, it's the Phil Henry Show. Or you don't have to say anything. You can just say it's crap. It's just some crap shirt you found. Tell people you found it. Also, on the 4th of July, we'd like you to be with us for our, very excited about our first ever nationally syndicated 100 favorite calls of the year. Yes, the top 100 calls of the year will be counting them down on July the 4th. What a fun way to spend part of July 4th in the afternoon, you know, listening to a little bit of the music that you like, and then flip on our top 100 calls of the year, and it'll be a fine 3 hours of solid wall-to-wall radio comedy at its best. The best calls of the year from your favorite guests, and you can hear the disbelief and amazement of callers as they hear the ridiculous lawsuits filed by Steve Bozell, the arrogance of Ted Bell, the wacky hijinks of Cadet R.C. Collins, the outrageous snobbery of Margaret Gray, and all the other idiots, Clara Bingham, and all the rest. Tune in and hear all your favorites as we count them down from 100 to 1, or maybe we'll start at like 15, on the Phil Henry Show, 4th of July, top 100 favorite calls of the year, and that's coming up on the 4th of July. And we got to put that show together very, very soon, as Craig Taylor comes back from Japan, where he is currently with his lady, Nikki. She's a dancer at Tokyo Disney. And I got to tell you about Taylor. He came back from Tokyo, and he said, "Man, you have never lived until you've visited Tokyo." He said, "It is absolutely a gas." I said, "You're kidding me, man." No, he says, "It is a gas." He said, "It is completely radical, and everybody over there is partying all hours of the day, and then they just crawl out of bed with like 45 minutes worth of sleep and go off to their jobs." He says, "It's just great." God, And apparently, Nikki, she works at Tokyo Disney, and then she gets on the train, because everything in Tokyo, as you know, I mean, not everything in Tokyo, but they have a wonderful rapid transit there, as many cities do, many great cities do, unlike, for instance, let's say Los Angeles. And anyway, they have these marvelous bullet trains, and she gets on the train after work, and she sails on back to the suburbs that she lives in. And I said, "What are the burbs like in Tokyo?" She says, "Man, they make the burbs in L.A. look like toilet bowls." He says, "The suburban Tokyo makes suburban Los Angeles look like the South Bronx." And they get on the train, and then they come home, and at the train stations, they have bars and grills. So you pop off the train, and apparently their favorite hangout is this bar right at the train station that she gets off of to go to her house. So they sit there all night till about 4 a.m. partying. Everybody from Disney, because they all live in the same complex. Then they go off to their little apartments, which Disney provides. Tell me, I got to tell you something, man. If I could get a gig as some kind of a dancing elf at Disneyland, I'd be out of this job so fast that the exhaust wouldn't settle before I was there. I mean, they give you housing, they give you bread, they relocated her, they flew her over there first class. You telling me that isn't beautiful? If I could get a gig as one of, like Chip or Dale or both, get me to gig as Goofy. I'll walk around like a goofball. I'll let some kid throw a cherry bomb down my, down the ass, you know, down that little thing that they have, you know, when they're trying to get into the suit. I don't care. I'll take their abuse. What are you staring at?
I was just saying what you say.
What?
I said I was listening to what you say.
Okay.
Well, I think you could be a chicken.
I'll be a chicken where?
At Disneyland.
They don't have a chicken at Disneyland.
You could be Chicky the Chicken.
There ain't no chicken at Disneyland.
But yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They have, the uncle is McScrooge.
That's a duck. That's Donald Duck.
That's a chicken.
Oh, go, bud, go. Get out of here, will you, man? I was just sitting here having a good time until you walked in.
You'll be in a chicken suit.
Yeah, okay, man, I'll call up Disney. Why don't you call him now and say, Phil Henry wants to be one of your mascots at Disneyland in a chicken suit. He wants to be Chicky the Chicken. You know who he is.
I bet you if I did, they would know.
Okay. You go right ahead and make me look like a jerk. Go ahead.
You'll be sorry.
What an idiot. What?
You got their number?
I ain't got their number, man. Look it up.
Is it in the book?
No, man. Disneyland ain't in the book. Forget it. Chicken suit. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.